This is Twit.
We're going to say hi to Topher White. He's with the Rainforest Connection. I know the Rainforest Connection.
Hey.
That's a great organization.
Thank you.
You're trying to save the rainforest, right?
Yeah. Rainforest, forests all over the place.
Deforestation is the number one cause of climate change.
Number two, but that definitely
What's
counts.
What's number one? Cow farts.
Energy in general.
Okay.
Yeah. Energy in general. But yeah.
I've been talking to the Rainforest Connection since they first started. I remember they told me it's the three C's. It's chains, mm-hmm. chainsaws, cows, and cars, right?
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's roads. So in our case, we're saying that, look, if it's the second largest contributor to climate change, almost 20% of all the carbon every year comes from deforestation, it's actually the roads that are the cause of that, and logging is what causes the roads.
The roads into the forest so they could take the trees out.
Yeah, because logging is the most lucrative one, so 90% of logging in the rainforest is illegal. So if you can actually stop that, which is a mandate to do, because it's illegal, then you can have a big impact.
So how did you come up with this idea?
This all kind of started because I went to Indonesia as a volunteer at a gibbon reserve. Actually, here's an image of this right here. And this one place that I visited was just kind of actually spending all their time trying to protect the outskirts of this this reserve from logging, and realized that they had cell phone service out there. They had like no electricity, no running water, no roads.
But they have cell service?
It's cell service in the jungle. There's no roads out there, you know, no running water.
You see this a lot because it's easy to do infrastructure that's wireless. Yeah. Now, you know, one of the interesting things about this is I've been hearing about this since I was a child. Mm-hmm. Deforestation is happening. And all of the organizations that formed were about dealing with the consequences, like this, you know, finding the animals and making sure that they were safe and perhaps trying to cut down in the amount of illegal logging. But we haven't really had the technology or the political will to do something about actually stopping.
Well, now we have the laws. We just need we need somebody out there watching we need.
Yeah. It's a big place.
The laws give us a mandate, not us even. The people on the ground, there's people there who would stop it if they knew where it was, if they knew they had support.
So you're saying loggers kind of basically sneak in?
They don't have to sneak in. They drive in with big old trucks, you know.
But there's no one. It's a empty space.
It is
empty
space,
where is this thing you built?
Oh, yeah. So basically this is the idea.
Look at this.
Well, yeah, the whole idea. So basically, it has to be solar-powered, right? Because we take these old phones, we put them up in trees, they listen to all the sounds of the forest, and they can pick out the sounds of chainsaws and logging trucks and things like that. Here's kind of a dramatization of it all, if you ever want to see it.
So you're these are listening devices.
And it, you know, picks up the sound.
But they're so high up that the loggers aren't aware of them.
That is correct, yeah. I mean, it's hard to see stuff up in a tree.
Especially if it's shaped like this, because it just looks like another set of leaves, basically.
Pretty much.
Father Robert came in the room, and he looked at it and said, oh... What did you say? You said you knew me, like, because you're a maker.
I thought it was a solar-powered environmental sensor.
But look,
sort of is.
Yeah. Well, look, we can do some pretty high-end stuff, right? So because there's cell phone networks, there's no reason for us to build some super high-end piece of technology because there's 150 million cell phones thrown away every year.
And nobody wants that cell phone. Right.
Yeah, this is like maybe an Android phone from 2007, Huawei. Yeah. But the funny thing is that it's so simple to put together. You know, you can sort of see another animation of that over here.
So you have power and you have
audio.
It's sort of the whole thing coming
together.
Connect
to the microphone jack,
right?
You run some custom software on it.
Oh yeah, we write an app on there that runs and it streams up to the cloud, and we can use AI to pull it out. But like the funny thing is that this is pretty easy to put together. This one here was put together by a guy named Lucas in a school. And Lucas is like 9 years old.
Oh,
this
my
phone is
God.
10 years old. I thought that was kind of funny.
The old phone is older than
the kid.
And it's 3D printed parts?
Basically, the whole idea is we want to be able to use stuff that they can assemble there in the field. Like, we're never going to save a ton of rainforest if we're the ones building it and sending it out there. So that's why we use old phones. That's why we use these boxes.
How many do you want to get out there?
Oh, I mean, it doesn't take that much, actually. So the thing with sound is that you can pick up sounds of chainsaws from, you know, a kilometer away, right? Or, you know, also a half a mile.
Thing, yeah.
And so, you know, we have some of these things up in sort of, you know, at roads, at perimeter. So just a few dozen can protect thousands of square miles if you have people to respond.
And I love this design. Idea. So we've got this. How much voltage, how much power can this create, this solar panel create?
These things actually, because we stream all the audio to the cloud, they have to create a lot. So this is actually, we have to generate about 40 watt hours per 24-hour
period.
So
40 watt hours. And then inside that box, you've got some sort of converter to get that down to 5 volts. I'm betting you have a bunch of 18650 cells in there that just convert it into usable power.
Actually, this is sort of the older version. We got another one over here. Oh, it's over here somewhere. We're switching to a new battery technology, actually. So those are 26650s. But we're actually switching to lithium iron phosphate.
Lithium iron phosphate.
Yeah,
that's going to give you more recharge cycles.
More recharge cycles is more environmentally friendly. We don't want to put up situations where a battery could, you know, combust in a tree. That kind of defeats the purpose.
Oh yeah,
but
that wouldn't be good.
But no, in general, that's the idea, is that we want these things to last for years. They're like satellites, but they're working
really
hard.
How high up does this have to be?
It doesn't have to be that high.
Because, I mean,
well, it's in the middle of the canopy, though, right? To get the sun?
In the canopy. So that's why you have this bizarre design, right? So these are actually recycled shards that we get from a partner down in Santa Clara.
So those aren't even new. Those are
Even new. Well, they're not actually recycled. So they're like cutoffs from these high-end panels on backpacks and things like that.
Oh, I get it. They're just extra.
They're just extra. And then we can solder these things together and cut it out. And, you know, this is still kind of...
It's a great idea.
High-end.
It really is.
But, no, at the end of the day, I think that there's no reason for us to be building the hardware. Like, how we're going to really scale is that people out there are already on their second or third generation phones. They're going to be able to put these things together themselves. Phones will get more environmentally, stable and environmentally...
You want people like, what's his name, Lucas? You want him to download plans for this? How can people get involved?
Well, so I mean, at the moment, the big thing for us is that the hardware, you can do a lot with not that much hardware, right? So we really want to focus on the software side of things. We're a tech company. We're going to try and find a way we can be scalable. And so I think at the end of the day, conservation can be as simple as somebody sort of downloading an app out from the field and putting a phone on a tree themselves. But that means that the way we want people to be involved is by downloading the apps here and getting into it. You mentioned earlier that the narrative hasn't really changed in like 30 years, you know? And I think that's because there's not a lot of originality when it comes to how to stop this stuff. And the only way we can make the rainforest persist and survive is if people here are able to care about it. But what we care about has changed over the past 20 years.
Right.
It has to be immediate. And so the same way we can send alerts to people on the ground, we can send alerts to people here. You can get an alert when a chainsaw goes off. We can tell you when a monkey goes through the forest. You can connect to the forest in real time.
Okay, we have to talk about that. Okay, so I like the tech. I love putting stuff like this together. But the big question is, what do I get out of this? So I've put an old cell phone up 100, 150 feet up into the canopy.
Yeah.
It's now connected to the cellular network.
Mm-hmm.
What am I getting and what can I do with it?
Okay, so at this point, it's now streaming audio up into the cloud. We're analyzing it for anything, mostly chainsaws, logging trucks, but really any species you're looking for, there's an AI model that's going to help pick that out over time.
So it's not just logging. Machine learning to pick out individual species?
Sure, and right now it's just a few species, but we're going to make it hopefully very easy over the next few months for even ecologists to be able to sort of add species to it, and that can scale out across the whole system. So the idea behind it is that if we want to get people to care about the forest, we have to turn the forest into a real experience for them. And that's not going to come from, telling them all the bad news and the rest. It's about them actually having a personalized connection to what's there.
Well, to that end, you've got a VR app.
Yeah, hey, that's kind of the idea.
Let's,
so
let's get our daydream on here.
So, I mean...
Do we have the daydreams? Oh, no, we'll just do it on the... we could show it on the Apple TV.
Oh, yeah, hey, cool. So, hey, Rainforest Connection, I mean, basically every phone you put up there... you can...
anyone can download this app right now?
Yeah, it's on the App Store. It's called Search for Rainforest Connection.
iOS and Android? Or
iOS, iOS and Android.
So what's it called? Search?
It's called Rainforest Connection.
Rainforest Connection. Search for Rainforest Connection.
Yeah, and so the whole idea behind this is that every phone you put up there, yes, it's sending alerts
to
people.
Wait a minute, where is that?
This is Brazil.
Brazil?
So this is a live stream coming out of Brazil.
Audio stream.
With an old phone, basically a phone like this,
We should say the phone doesn't stream live video only because that would be a huge amount of bandwidth. So this is a still picture.
Yeah.
But that's real-time audio.
It's real-time audio, and that's what's being analyzed for all the stuff. So this is actually in a very dangerous area. This is a tree in a Tembe Reserve in Brazil where this tribe is actually more or less taking back their area militantly from illegal loggers and drug cartels. And so this is, whenever there's a truck that goes by, they get an alert, and then they're able to respond in real time.
So you're alerting the tribe?
They're alerting the tribe, yeah.
I would assume that an internal combustion engine or a chainsaw makes a very distinctive sound.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know a chainsaw does.
You can hear
those a mile
And so
away.
This tribe, I mean, it's a really amazing story. But this is the whole principle, right, is that if we want to save the rainforest, it's not going to be us to go out there and do it. There's people there who would do it. These tribes are amazing. This guy here, this is the Tembe warrior who was able to sort of they're responding to alerts on a regular basis.
I want to say on to this guy. That is awesome.
No, but check this out. So like these guys there, if we want to fight climate change, we're always thinking about energy. You know, we're thinking about how we can cut down our energy footprint, which is important. But there's people out there in the field where they can have a bigger impact on affecting climate change than dozen engineers at Tesla.
Yeah.
Just because they have that much in front of them. If we can just build small, pretty unimpressive technical tools to make a difference.
Now, who pays for the bandwidth on this? I mean.
Well, it's actually not that bad. I have to really give a shout out to T-Mobile. They aren't philanthropically helping us, but I got to tell you that sort of unlimited international
works
data plan
everywhere
is pretty great.
That's
for,
what I use
streaming things out of the forest.
Yeah,
so save rainforest as you go plan.
It's true. It's throttled, so it's not great for streaming video, but we're streaming audio, so no worries. You know,
2G is plenty for
audio. Yeah, an audio stream is 13K maybe.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's even less than that. So I think we're streaming maybe like 2 or 3 kilobytes a second.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, and get it out
there. So how many of these are out there?
So at the moment, there are a little less than 70 out there in the field, but that's enough for us to protect what we think is between 3,000 and 4,000 square kilometers of
Holy
forest.
Holy cow. And you want to get more out? Is there any way we can help? How can we
help? Yeah, I mean, I think that it's all about sort of being able to listen in. We want to build a community around it, and we want to sort of get into it. And another thing on top of that is that, look, if we have the system that allows you to pick out insights from the forest, we want people to be able to grab that, like ecologists, biologists, and the rest. And we're also going to release an app, hopefully early next year, that allows anybody to take this and put this on their windowsill. And they can actually get an alert when their favorite bird comes into the backyard or the other sorts of things happen.
Right. Once you've got the technology, you can expand this incredibly. I mean, you can start categorizing city sounds.
This is like a Ring doorbell for the forest. Yeah. That's a really great idea. I love that.
Certain sense.
So... what's the website? How can
website,
we help? What can we do?
RFCX.org. But really, just go on the App Store, iOS or Android, and download the app. That'll be the great way for us to stay in contact.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Thanks,
look
guys.
For Rainforest Connection.
Yeah, hey.
RFCX.
There we are. We're going to get into some really cool stuff, I think.
This combines so many things that this network loves. The fact that you're reusing old technology, keeping it out of landfills. The fact that you've created something new. The fact that you're helping the environment. And the fact that, I like this, you are giving people a tool to defend their homes.
I love it.
Seriously. And when they do that,
how inspiring.
They're inspired to do it anyway. If they're doing that, they're helping us. They're doing the job for us when it comes to climate change.
I mean, did you have help designing this? Tell me about the team involved.
So the team involved is fantastic. We're mostly working on some really cool cloud-based technologies for helping to
you must have AI people and
we got a good team of AI people. But we realized pretty early on that we couldn't be hiring more data scientists to build more models to pick out new things. So that's why we sort of made a choice that, just like having phones in trees to make it so rangers don't have to go out there and find things, we have to build a system that allows us to automate the detection of new species.
Yeah.
And so that's really what we're working on. But we're focused on ways that anyone can get involved. The rainforest will only be saved if we can make the rainforest interesting to the world. And that's what this app's about. That's what the rest of this is all about. So we think that it's going to be that connection between the people in the field who are doing this great work and the people here. But that's not going to happen naturally. It's up to us to sort of incentivize people to care. And that's what this real-time connection is all about.
Very nice. Topher, really great to meet you. RFCX.org.
Hey, thanks a lot,
you guys. Keep up the great work. Wow. Hey. This is everything we're interested
this
in every respect.
This is what we do.
I love it.
You guys talk about everything that we're interested in. So.